We find out that that boy is actually a young Poe Dameron.
Oh. Whoa.
What if Jabba the Hutt survived that explosion?
The Mandalorian will spoil that Palpatine survived and also how he survived.
Welcome back to New Rockstars. I'm Phil Molina. This is Rogue Theory, and today we're talking about how the first episode of The Mandalorian is going to spoil the entire Star Wars universe, apparently. But joining us today are all fun characters. We got Eric Voss.
Hi.
With the suffering from a chest burster.
I had a heartburn.
Okay, also that. And then we have Link himself, 80s Link, Joshua Ovenshire. We call him Joven.
Oh, glad to be here. Costume fake, ears real.
Oh, sweet. You embraced what was so special about you.
Yes.
That's so great. And then Marina Mastros is some sort of flower monster. She won't tell us what it is.
Venus flytrap.
Oh, Little Shop of Horrors, maybe.
Yeah.
Feed me.
It's a comfortable costume.
Right before we started, she's been complaining about her neck supporting the weight of this thing immediately. So we'll see how long she can last. I have faith that you won't pass out. Guys, this week it was revealed that the first episode of the Disney Plus series, The Mandalorian, is going to have a, quote, dramatic Star Wars universe spoiler.
What?
It's a little vague, and I like that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, we know it's dramatic Star Wars universe and spoiler. no other details. But a lot of people are like, oh man, maybe it'll reveal the, you know, Rey is a clone or something, which would be so stupid of them to put in their TV show that comes out a month before.
What a better way to get those day one subscribers in.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe
yeah.
Maybe buy Disney Plus.
Marina, no one knows what you said. did you just hurt yourself? Stuff on your teeth?
No. Okay. My teeth are sharp.
Our teeth are sharp.
All sharp tooth flower head.
To the podcast listener.
I said it. You're a flower monster.
Oh, all right,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah. It's got a lot of triangles and like in Native American markings. So if it's not going to be, we're going to assume it's not going to be about the Rise of Skywalker, then what are we about to learn about the Star Wars universe in the first episode of The Mandalorian? I want to hear your rogue theories.
This is the entire podcast.
Yeah. Should we start with Eric?
No, Marina tried to start. Get one out of the way first because I'm on borrowed time here. So The Mandalorian will spoil that Palpatine survived and also how he survived, which is, thank you, Eric. I think that's you. I cannot turn my head.
But you can make your own gasping sounds. I heard you doing it when you put that on.
yeah, right. Palpatine has projected himself. He got poofed in the air shaft or whatever that thing is called, right? He fell down and he vaporized. And when he vaporized, he projected his essence or his like mind or whatever you want to call it into the wreckage of the Death Star, and he's hiding there. And then in the beginning of The Mandalorian, they're going to be in the wreckage of the Death Star, and then like the bounty hunter is going to be in there. And then it's going to be like, you know, in 2001 Space Odyssey when he's like, hello, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that. It's going to be Palpatine's voice. And then they're just going to drop that he's there. But
can
then,
we hear your Palpatine voice?
Hello, Dave.
Ooh, very sexy.
Sexy Palpatine.
Yeah, you remember that Dave Solo guy?
Yeah.
Palpatine really liked him.
Yeah. I'm clearly a voice actress.
So
they reveal that he survived and also how he survived. So he's just chilling on the wreckage of the Death Star.
What do you mean wreckage? Like he's just in the walls like
in
Amityville Horror?
Computer system.
Sorry. Oh, he's in the computer.
He's in the computer, which is how he was cut.
That's why he's the Hello Dave guy.
Yeah, exactly. Nola or
Arnim Zola.
Zola.
Yeah. And so he's in there and he's chilling. And then also in the new trailer for Star Wars, they show the wreckage of something, and I think that wreckage is how he's gonna get back into a body of some kind.
Gotcha. So for anyone that couldn't understand that, I'm not sure if the microphone was able to pick any of that up. Your idea is that sexy Palpatine has been sexually hiding embodying some sort of phallic leftovers of Death Star.
Yeah.
And he is kind of like waiting to either move his essence elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an old Sith tactic not many, but we do have
it's been established.
Yeah.
I do like it's an old Sith trick. Sith. Like, never trust a Sith. He's always trying to
kill him, but then he's in the lamp. always check the lamp.
Always got to destroy every object around a Sith corpse.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're going to hear a voice, and that's going to be the big spoiler moment.
Yeah.
And it's going to be sexy Palpatine.
But then, based on your theory, will then Palpatine, are they just going to find him like, huh, that was a weird, spooky voice we heard, or and then they're done for the whole season, or does Palpatine's voice stay?
Or they're like, that's Ian McDermott.
They say the actor's name.
Yeah.
No, they discover it like a weird, creepy voice, but of course the audience knows.
Oh, the audience
knows. They don't know. We just know that his essence is around.
So that haunted wreckage.
Yes, yes. It's also not of their concern. Like, they're on a different storyline, but that's how they spoil it for the rest of
it's kind of like in Shattered Empire, I think Shattered Empire, where Leia is visiting, is it Naboo that she's visiting? And she sees in the palace just like a force projection kind of vision of Darth Maul. And she doesn't know who Darth Maul
is.
That's
not the comic actually, series, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. It's funny that you mentioned that. That's a little foreshadowing.
Of what?
My theory.
We're going to skip yours. We got to give Marina a Rogie.
And then,
that 90% of that Rogie is for respect of keeping that thing on your head.
Yeah.
I can
I'm mostly breathing carbon dioxide.
Yeah. I can see it leaving.
Because you're a flower and flowers breathe carbon dioxide.
Yeah, yeah. You're turning it back into oxygen for us.
Yeah,
photosynthesis.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, put it back on though.
Oh, no.
Okay. Feed me.
All right, Joven, what did we foreshadow?
So,
what is your rogue theory?
In the 4-issue comic miniseries, The Road to Force Unleashed, as you said it was the Shattered Empire, takes place just about immediately after the fall of the Empire in Episode 6. And we know that Mandalorian takes place 5 years after the fall of the Empire. So there was a cliffhanger at the end of issue 4 where you find out that the two main characters that have kind of been with the heroes of the rebellion are actually Poe Dameron's parents. And the end of the 4th issue
on Endor.
What's that?
And they're on Endor.
Right. Luke actually goes with the mom to save these last two Force trees. And for some reason, Luke Skywalker decides to give her one. And he's going to take the other to his little new Jedi temple. So she plants, she says that they're about to have a baby. And he's like, all right, plant this tree outside of your house. And then you find out her last name is Dameron. And then you're like, oh, that's Poe's mama and papa. And so what they're essentially telling us is that they're going to plant a Force tree outside of their house where Poe is going to be raised. And then going into episode 7, we're like, oh, Poe is Force sensitive. And then they never touch it at all.
Yeah, they don't ever.
And then in episode 8, they never touch it at all. So it's just this it is canon that Poe is Force sensitive, but we haven't seen that at all. So
and
what I'm thinking,
although I'll throw out there real quick, he's the best pilot by far, and people constantly reference like, how could he have those skills?
And I guess like same thing with Anakin. I guess that kind
and
of
Luke,
goes back
yeah.
to they were great pilots. But there has at least with Anakin and Luke there was like a 3-part story arc with them and their Force powers. I think, though, that in The Mandalorian, since it takes place 5 years after those incidents, I think the main mission that the bounty hunter will have is actually having to escort this Force-sensitive child from danger from point A to point B. And then we find out that son, or that boy, is actually a young Poe Dameron.
Oh. Whoa, okay, that part I like. I like that.
Time-wise,
that's cool.
It actually
sliding a rogue towards you.
I get one, too.
Yeah.
Sweet.
But you also get another half one because you made it connect to the comics, which I'm a fan of.
Yay.
Yeah.
Those are great.
Yeah, the
I
recent
think
ones.
Star Wars
yeah.
comic this year, or I said comic, because East Coast.
No, nowhere says that.
Oh, good. The Star Wars comic is actually coming to an end soon, so I'm a little sad for that one, but I'm excited to see what they do next with it.
Yeah, but they have all kinds.
All the Chuck Wendig stuff is really great for the.
Yeah. I also like how Marina, dressed as a monster tree, laughed a lot when you kept saying Force Tree. Like, there's like,
is that what Marina is?
Are you a Force Tree?
She's a Sith Tree.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Oh man!
Yes.
So you got to stick your fingers in your mouth holes. Is that part of it?
Gross. It's part of it.
I have two options to breathe, and I'm using both of them.
All right, Jevin, I'm really down with that. Eric told me that he can beat it though.
Okay. I did. Yes, I did. Okay. Yeah. You want to take this one?
Cabinet. Link's going to roll up his sleeves here.
Hold on. This little guy is going to take you on.
No, he didn't. Can't talk. He's
he has to keep the mask on the whole time. You have to do the voice the whole time.
Okay. But it doesn't have to be that voice.
No one wants that.
No, that's his voice, so I'm not going to take that from him. Okay, so here's my theory. Cut in right here. Here's my theory for what I think the Mandalorian's going to reveal in episode one. Just things that we thought were true at the end of Return of the Jedi are not actually true. So what are some things that they could change that people would actually be excited about? Well, like Patton Oswalt's famous rant in Parks and Rec said, like, we push it on the Sarlacc pit. The Mandalorian glove of Boba Fett crawls its way out. He survived. That's Patton Oswalt's theory. Yeah. I think if you look at this Mandalorian trailer that just came out, they have like some hints. Like there's a Rodian. Greedo famously was a Rodian bounty hunter who worked for who? Jabba the Hutt. You see some a Quarren figure. Quarren. There was also some Quarren bounty hunters of Jabba the Hutt. Mm-hmm. What if Jabba the Hutt survived that explosion on his like pleasure yacht, and that there are some
pleasure yacht
pleasures?
Pleasure Palpatine is that too? that little
salacious crumb. Mine. Pleasure Palpatine.
What, Marina? Hold on, everyone, stop. Marina has something important to say.
The tree has something.
The tree must talk. What is it, Marina?
As in pleasure Palpatine signs in with mine.
My theory is that after Han and Luke and their team destroyed Jabba the Hutt's yacht in the beginning of Return of the Jedi, there was like all the bounty hunters and scavengers on Tatooine went in and took all of his valuables, anything they could find, including any other frozen and carbonite bodies that he might have had. But Jabba's crime syndicate survived. There are other huts. Mm-hmm. I think Jabba might have survived, and now he's trying to track down all the stuff that was taken from him.
Yeah, I believe so we talked about comics, and in the Bounty Hunter series, which isn't canon, unfortunately, anymore, but his dad, Zorba the Hutt, actually went out for revenge, so it would be neat to see that all play in and have Jabba's dad show up.
Or I'll one-up Jobin, and I'll say, please copy exactly the events of Ocean's 12, where Terry Benedict says, I want my money back with interest. But so Andy Garcia as Jabba, I'm super into.
Good casting.
Well, have you seen him? Yeah, lately. No, no. He actually looks great, honestly. But so it is just like maybe even the story of the first season is appeasing Jabba.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I like Ocean's 12, the best of the Ocean's trilogy, quadrilogy, right?
The one where Julia Roberts plays Tess playing Julia Roberts. Yeah. It's a pretty good movie, actually. You're making fun of it, but I love it. Andy Garcia as Jabba the Hutt. He's back.
Yeah, I think Jabba the Hutt's one of these fan favorite characters that, like, everyone who loves Star Wars isn't going to mind if you reveal that Jabba the Hutt's still alive. I don't think that
you
would
think
be
he's still alive all the way to
that explosion was
as equal as the explosion that killed Palpatine, yet he's still alive.
Or much crazier. Yeah. Also, have you... Oh, God, you stabbed Link.
The flower was really upset with that.
Yeah. Also, though, have you seen Jabba? Like, I mean, that's a lot of, you know, armor.
Yeah.
So that's got to be
worms reproduced. They split in half or something.
Ooh, right, gross! Starfish. Maybe like just the tip of him got like
slithered away,
but it has his whole brain in him. He's and all his eyes. gross.
So two Rogies or three Rogies is the question.
Two Rogies.
Oh, it worked. It worked. Start. It's a perfect negotiation tactic there. Yeah. It's an old Sith trick.
Yeah, I've seen you inhabit an object before. Gross, though. No, two Rogies because...
I'm doing it for now.
You just say inhabit an object like me having sex with an object.
Yeah. That's exactly what I meant. Yeah,
we'll
and then your little tip of a Jabba.
We need to rewatch every episode of Rogue Theory. Philip has like snuck in all these disgusting little jokes throughout.
I'm getting that.
you like it, you son of a bitch.
Oh, that's why I'm here.
His ears are fully erect.
Now. Yeah, I just like for podcast listeners, they don't realize how stereotypically nerd Jovan looks. this episode. He shows up in a Link costume.
Spock ears.
You have your Spock ears, your Link costume.
We did not tell Jovan that this was a Halloween episode.
It's not a Halloween episode.
We taped this September 28th.
Referencing the non-canon Star Wars items. they're missing
my
now.
My glasses
though.
Three times this episode.
Guys, let's hear them again in a tweet. Starting with Marina.
Palpatine, sexy Palpatine lives on in the Death Star. #
Flower
Barry
Monster.
Barry White. Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. # Barry White. I'm done with that too.
He basically is in control of the the tunes on the ship so he can, like,
of course.
So
the mood nice.
Palpatine is the apprentice to Barry White, is what you're saying. I get it. Sexy Palpatine's back, yeah. And he's on the ship.
Mandalorian has young Dameron, who's force sensitive, that we find out actually is attuned to the force, and it's hashtag not another escort mission.
Ooh.
Ooh, weird. That and kind of hashtag. Like mine. Yeah, got sexy. Also,
not that kind of escort. Yeah, sick tree.
And specifically Poe Dameron, right? Not like Phineas Dameron or some loser.
No, this is definitely Poe Dameron.
We're going to have Poe Dameron, force sensitive.
5-year-old Poe Dameron. And move things with his mind.
Being babysat by an assassin.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah,
how do you think he learned how to fly?
Yeah, it's like kindergarten cop.
He learned from the Mandalorian.
Eric, in tweet.
Jabba the Hutt lives, wants revenge, hashtag Pedro Pascal dressed as Slave Leia.
These have all been so sexy. Guys, tell us in the comments who you think is actually even the closest. I have a feeling none.
What?
But we'll see.
Mine is canonically connected to the comic books.
No. But thanks really quick to our sponsors.
Hey everyone, Eric here, and with Rick and Morty coming back soon, we can announce a new series called Rick-splained. It will be our official Rick and Morty after show with special guests from the Rick and Morty staff. You can access it by subscribing to our Rick-splained podcast feed. And we're calling it Rick-splained because if it's one thing Rick and Morty fans love, it's splaining to their friends what each episode's really about. If you've ever wondered if Mr. Meeseeks is a metaphor for slavery, or if Pickle Rick is an analogy for painkiller addictions, no. You are not overthinking it, you're just broken the way I am. Because each episode I'm going to dive deep into the black hole of an episode of Rick and Morty, the new season 4 episodes, and leading up to that, standout episodes from seasons 1, 2, and 3 to decode how each is a secret cry for help. And each episode, yeah, I'm going to be sitting down with special guests from the show, writers, voice actors, animators, so that they can confirm whether or not my explanation is legit and give us some secrets behind these episodes that we otherwise would never know. So subscribe to Rick-splained wherever you get your podcasts, so of all the Rick and Morty fans you know, you can be the Rickest Rick.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are the real Brady Bros. Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Speaking of things that are getting scary, guys, Marvel.
Oh,
the
scary.
MCU. Eric, are you okay?
Yeah, well, Marvel's terrified.
Yeah. They do control a lot of our destiny. Phase 4 of the MCU is going to expand what Marvel movies can be, breaking out of the superhero genre. We've said that this is our pitch the whole time. They're going to go to different directors. They're going to expand into new kinds of films. We're getting a spy movie in Black Widow, right? Ooh. We're getting a martial arts movie in Shang-Chi.
Yeah, we are.
And we're getting what they've described as a horror movie. Come on, yes. Philip, you got to separate those syllables. A horror movie in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Ooh.
So, assuming that they still want to do more horror even beyond that movie, because it's one of the primary genres, it's one of the biggest money-making genres,
yes,
in film, period, how can Marvel make movies that are good horror films but still feel like a Marvel movie? Still got the Feige touch. So pitch me what your Marvel movie that's a Marvel movie and simultaneously a horror movie is going to be.
Okay, so I think Spider-Man Far From Home gave us like a great
Eric,
template.
I'm on borrowed time
be.
Over here, okay?
No, you're gonna quiet tree.
take a nap.
I think we've shown that if you can play with people's perception of reality, like that's a real great way to like terrify someone. Like the way Mysterio trapped Peter in that illusion
what
battle.
What a great scene.
Such a great, great sequence. And like that just shows us the untapped potential of things like the Reality Stone and just swapping around through like the realities that Doctor Strange does. Hopefully Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which I have said sounds like a Rob Zombie lyric, will explore. Because like Scott Derrickson is the director that he loves these kind of
also,
movies.
Also horror film director,
yeah,
Rob Zombie.
Yeah, he got his start in mm-hmm. horror films, as did James Gunn with like Slither.
Yeah.
You know, so like they have all these guys who love making horror films. So I would love to see like a movie that beyond Multiverse of Madness just like shows a character trapped in like a reality swap situation like Scarlet Witch, Wanda Maximoff, and hopefully WandaVision will explore some of this, showing her like swapping around through realities. She doesn't know what's real and what isn't, and it terrifies her.
It's like a psychological thriller kind of scary.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of Get Out when you were saying that, where it's like being in an environment that's like on its surface very like, because specifically the WandaVision idea of if it is going to be that 50s, you know, Norman Rockwellian kind of life, that's kind of what Get Out is depicting, right? Everyone's like so cheery and happy that it's off-putting Stepford Wives.
Yeah, what I hope WandaVision is it starts that way. It starts the like the Vision comic book where it's like showing his atomic family, but it descends into something closer to The Shining, where like it's a character who's like trapped
that
in their maze.
Does that too.
Yeah,
visually, I want to see this so bad.
Yeah, so I hope that's what. I don't know if that's the direction they're going, but I think in order to set up Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, it needs to collapse that sitcom, that classic sitcom formula that they seem to be tapping into something that's really messed up, so that Doctor Strange can fix it in his film.
So this is Wanda's film?
Yeah, it is. WandaVision is her story as reality collapses around her in the way that like she looks around and there's like blood pouring out of the bathroom door. Gotcha. There's like a guy in a bear costume doing something horrible.
It's like, obviously standing like out of the norm for that area.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and she doesn't know what real is anymore, just like the Avengers Disassembled left WandaVision in the comics, so we needed to have the House of X, or House of M, storyline where they tried to fix it into something new and permanent. Yeah, so rather than the next horror film being like a movie beyond Multiverse of Madness, I'm suggesting that WandaVision will be a weekly horror series.
Cool. Man, I would love that.
That's so cool.
That's cool.
Like, just evolving over time. That's also a really cool video game that's like that starts like, where you're like taking care of kids or something, and it's very sweet, but then like there's little things like you can't
We Happy Few.
I don't know, it's the one where you can't help but like grab a knife. You like, it's like the only character now it has to hold a knife, and then once it holds a knife and it can never put it down, and the only other action it has is to stab now.
Sounds like parenting.
Yeah. All right, Jovan, what's where's Marvel going with this, with a horror film in the MCU, and how do they pull it off? How is it Feige and Marvel?
I think Marvel I think Marvel's done a really great job of taking obscure characters, some newer, some older, and giving them these movies that just become amazing parts of our history. I think they're going to do it again after Doctor Strange. I think we are going to see some of the scarier characters. And there was a character created in 2001 that I'm surprised we haven't seen more of yet. Maybe you guys might know the name Elsa, you know?
Frozen?
Elsa Bloodstone, actually.
Okay.
A monster hunter, kind of a la Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but more guns and ass kickery. I think it's something that we want to see in cinema more, is more women being badasses that can take their own movies and their own franchises and go in that direction.
You got the tree support.
This is also a character that has crossed over with Ghost Rider, who did have, for a brief moment, his own Hulu series that was supposed to happen, got canceled. So I think that we'll see a Ghost Rider movie, or at least spinoff with Elsa Bloodstone.
Which would mean, by the way, that they're saying that you're thinking of a newly cast Ghost Rider. They get rid of the ABC version?
I think...
Well, it's also a different character.
There's two different characters. I would love to see the ABC character kind of come over, because I want to see more cross between TV and the MCU verse. But in this Bloodstone movie, you can also go into monsters. You can get scary with it. And I think the most important part of it, though, is it doesn't have to be rated R. People think that if you're going to have a good scary movie, it has to be rated R. That is not at all true. Some of my favorite horror movies ever have not been rated R. Sixth Sense
The Insidious movies. Dead Silence was
Lego movie.
PG-13. Which one?
Lego.
Lego movie. Scary. And also, I kept with my hot take. I don't think Marvel has to go rated R with their like Deadpool. I don't think it has to be rated R. There's a way to do great action and still pull it off in a PG-13 way. So I think the same thing could be done with action and horror at the same time. You can have a strong PG-13 movie. But also, Marvel does like to break records. And right now we have a new R-rated movie with a giant box office hit with Joker. And just Marvel's over there like, we can beat that. So they might want to do an R-rated movie just to like beat another record.
What does your movie feel like?
I think it should be very slow and creepy, have that James Wan style where you can't really see what's around the corner, even though the person can, have that claustrophobic feel of monsters being around you while you're trying to hunt them at the same time. So it's like these demons that are always present over your shoulder, but you can't always see them.
Cool.
Mm. And I think that's a way to get into a viewer's head where there's something there and you know it. Like, you've turned the lights off in your house and you're going to bed and you know there's something behind you, but you can't see it. And that is one of the scariest feelings that we as human beings could know. And I think to play on that with actual monsters is a very fun direction that can get scary and just messed up on multiple levels.
Yeah, maybe that's where it meets Marvel for you, is that it has that terrifying lights out kind of thing going on, the short film Lights Out, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Cool.
It has that going on, but then it actually has like named characters who have their own backstories and like fleshed out monsters.
Because like there are so many great monsters that have made their appearances in the Marvel comics. Like Dracula is an actual Marvel character. Like I'm not saying that he would be in this particular movie, but there's lots of demons and monsters that you can touch on from history and lore that show up in Marvel comics that Elsa could be fighting alongside these.
Her
you know, the one that can actually go outside and touch things. And Olaf. So that's
that monster Olaf.
I think it's a great way. And then you can also tie in like the horror characters into like your MCU major movies, like the Avengers movies that happen later on, where it'll be just nice to see them, especially in a darker sense, than interact with characters in maybe a more lighter sense. You get to see that juxtaposition of their characters, which will be great to see on camera.
I want to ask you another follow-up question because I noticed that Marina started sweating. And her teeth
and
are
her
falling
head is
out.
Slowly tilting to other sides.
Yeah. But her teeth are falling out, so yeah, we don't have a lot of time. Marina, what's your
excuse me, sir.
Marvel meets horror pitch?
Blade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Marina. Mm-hmm. That's Marina's pitch.
That's our time today.
Guys, so recap these for me. Your horror film or TV series, I guess, in the MCU, how it's Marvel and it's horror. Give it to me in a tweet.
WandaVision collapses into The Shining as reality becomes distorted. Cut. Pause.
Cut. Pause. Just pause. I'm into it. There's a Rogi.
Elsa Bloodstone, the female that you didn't know is kicking so much ass, is now fighting the monsters you didn't know were standing right behind you. Ooh. Hashtag Buffy who?
Ooh. Oh, snap, Joven. You just got lost a Rogi.
What? No.
I was, look, it's in my hand, and I was like, you know what? Your idea is okay, but you referenced Buffy in a nice way, and I was going to slide it over, and I was going to be so happy, and instead you get a little half one,
because
Buffy Summers is who. There's the one and
it's
only.
It's a cardinal sin to diss Buffy when Phillip's
you,
here.
You can't.
You know, since I'm now holding, you can't take it away from me. The Buffy TV show? Overrated and does not stand the test of time.
You fool! Do you want to lose another?
And the thing is, Joven hasn't been here before. He doesn't know. I can take these away.
Sacred. Oh my god!
That's right.
Joven is down to half a Rokey. And Marina, give it to us in the tweet really quick.
Marvel goes horror with Blade. Hashtag some. Fuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.
I love that line, first of all. I think it's in reference to Joven just now.
I can take all of her rogues and she can't see out of her preferred. Yeah.
That is
vision.
Actually true.
Plants can't move.
You can. Here, I'll give you an Yay! Extra one. And since Joven stole one of yours, I'll give you another one, and I'll give Eric another one.
That's how it is.
And but Jovan, don't worry, because you still have a chance to win this thing.
Okay, that's
it's
good.
Very
I
hard.
Just have to keep Buffy out of my conversation.
Yes.
Or just
the,
say nice things.
The new comic is great.
Yeah.
That's the worst part of it. God, Jovan.
Compared to the TV show.
You hate the TV show. That's worse. Guys, all right. So, rogue questions here. Questions that I haven't seen, you guys haven't seen. You ready?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Netflix. Wait, are you ready, Marina?
Go.
I'm ready.
quick.
Go.
Netflix is testing out a new feature that lets you change playback speed. Did you guys see this? What Netflix content should be watched in double speed?
Double speed? Faster? Yeah.
House of Cards, so you don't have time to think about how horrible of a person its lead is.
Oh, God.
Sure. You don't like Robin Wright.
Robin Wright, not a fan.
The Great British Bake Off is on Netflix, right?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
I want to watch that in half speed because obvious reasons.
Yes.
Not the format of the question, Jovan, unfortunately.
You know, all the nature shows, so you like Life and Planet Earth and all that. So you just get to the part at the end where they're like, humans are ruining the planet, and then you're like, oh, now I know what I have to do with the rest of my life.
You want to get to that part faster where they shame you?
Yeah.
The cute animals off screen as fast as possible.
Get to the real message.
I'm only going to give Jovan a rogie for that one because he broke the rules.
What?
And I want to keep him nice and confused.
Nice.
All right, guys. Next rogue question. What MCU character would make the best vampire that's not Blade?
Can I say Blade?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Keanu Reeves and whatever character he plays because he never ages.
Oh, yeah. Solid. Nice.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with Peggy Hill because she obviously was sucking the life force out of Captain America because he was only gone for like another 70 years. And
did
he went
Peggy
from,
Carter or yeah. Peggy Hill from King of the
Hill? Oh, no. Peggy Carter. Peggy Carter. Oh, my
Peggy
God.
Hill from King of the Hill. Hank, I'm going to suck your blood.
Peggy Carter. Because he got way too old in how Captain America should be aging with the serum. He went from like zero to like Crypt Keeper.
I like that. Like, I like that. 70 years.
That's
sweet,
very true.
The sweet moment where she hooks Cap up on a meat hook every week,
like,
drains his blood
serum.
Just a little bit each week. All right, I'm into it. And Marina?
My idea who should be a vampire is Coulson because he keeps coming back and now he can just live forever.
Agent Phil Coulson.
Okay.
It was not Kree technology. He's just a vampire.
Yeah. Just a vampire.
Cool. You know what? It's surprising. Jovan's going to be the only rogue of the round again.
Wow. He's calling comeback.
Is it because you feel bad?
No.
Can't have those. I found out I can steal them, so now I have to be careful.
Yeah. And then finally, this is the last rogue question.
Okay.
Whoever comes out on top of this, reminder, you guys filled out your wish request earlier.
Yes.
We'll make one of your wishes come true. The rest of you will never have a wish come true again.
That makes sense.
Guys, what is the worst Halloween candy? Go.
Circus peanuts.
I was gonna say
can't repeat answers.
Too slow, plant.
God damn it.
Can't repeat answers. Go.
Peeps.
Peeps.
The worst Halloween candy.
And they are from Easter.
I'm gonna go with the Whoppers. Like, you bite into those and it just like sends shivers down. And they're always in like those big bags of candy where it has like a bunch of other good candy. So you just wind up with Whoppers at the end. It's like, I don't.
That is fair. It is a dice roll every time. It could be a stale Whopper.
Yeah. And you just bite into it and just like, I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about it. It's like,
mine's better because you're like, how the did this Easter candy get in my Halloween candy?
Next year, I'm buying Peeps in bulk around Easter and giving them out for Halloween candy.
You're right. I an Easter candy would be a really bad one. Marina gets one rogue, and then so does Jovan because I'm pretty against hurting my teeth when I'm trying to have fun.
Yeah.
Wow. Guys, all right, let's do a quick rogue total update. What do we got?
I have four.
Eric has four rogues.
Are these quarters or halves?
Quarters.
Oh, I have a half. I have four and a half.
I have three.
Three, and that leaves Jovan as our winner.
Yay!
In his inaugural episode and his last episode on Rogue Theory.
It was a great. I'm finally glad to be on camera with Eric.
Yeah,
this
is
nice.
Awesome.
I counted mine by touch only.
Yeah, you don't know how many are there.
Eric's wish, not going to happen. Marina's wish, oh, nope, never. Can I please take off the mask early?
Can we just like say, like, how many comments do you think we're going to have? Like, how do they not know she's a Demogorgon?
Oh, it's a Demogorgon, and Spock has the weird ears. Got it.
I still don't know what that is. Joshua Ovenshire would like everyone to defend Star Wars Episode 8 as a good Star Wars movie. Oh. And here's what I'll do, because we're a little over time. I'll say on our social media platforms, we have to send out a tweet that defends Star Wars Episode 8. Go to each of our Twitters. Where can we find you guys?
Now. Yeah. Hashtag Rogue Theory.
Yeah.
Okay,
theory.
I can do that. Okay. Right.
Eric, where can we find you?
You can find me here on New Rockstars on Twitter and Instagram at EA Voss. Coming up on the channel this week, we have some cool stuff, a preview of our Shining breakdown.
Cool.
We did an epic rewatch of it. The full thing is exclusive to patrons, but you're going to want to see this full thing. It's like insane. 35 minutes long.
That's
it's
great.
Like my favorite breakdown
I've
done.
This is the most intense breakdown you've done.
Absolutely, yeah. So you'll see like a little taste of it for everyone on the channel, just to give you a sense of what you're going to want to see.
Yeah, and we're not taking it away from you, by the way, if you're not a patron. It's that the patron specifically paid for this to be made.
And they voted.
I'm smarter on the internet because of your breakdown.
Hey! Public service here.
You can find me at The Joven Shard, Twitter and Instagram and YouTube, where I have a bunch of different content there, and I sold a cartoon recently, so that should actually be popping up in the very near future. So watch
That's
out for
great.
That.
Yeah,
awesome. I hope it's the Justins. And Marina, where can I find you?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Marina Mastros and here with Eric sometimes.
Great. Yeah. That sounds like a threat. It actually doesn't want to come back. Guys, I'm Philip Molina. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at Philip Molina. Make sure to follow New Rockstars at New Rockstars. Also, make sure to get this podcast feed because it comes out first there, and then you could have heard all this disastrous nonsense before you got to see it. And then just so that we all, because we're all curious, we're going to say goodbye as Marina slowly takes this mask off her head, and I want to see what her skin and face
is like. It's going to be so fucked up.
It's actually like Twilight Zone. It's just her face now.
Ready?
Yeah.
Oh God!
It's so red!
It's indented!
Oh, guys, never tell her. Never tell her. Never
I tell assume her. I look normal and fine.
Great. And then the editors just have her face blurred the entire time. with colors that are changing. Yeah.